怀昆塔之音服务人员聆听，各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早晨好。今天是2020年1月12日星期日。我们今天呢非常非常的荣幸的邀请到了我们敬爱的 Radha Sharan Prabhu 为我们讲述今天的圣典博伽瓦坛的早课，敬请聆听。哈利克什纳。嗯嗯。
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya。
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 We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7, Text Number 37.This chapter is entitled Scheduled Incarnations with Specific Functions.
我们今天阅读圣典博伽瓦坛第二篇第七章的第37节，这一章的题目是起特殊作用的化身。
So we'll chant the Sanskrit first.
首先呢，我们先来念诵梵文。
Devadvisham nigama vartmani nishtitanam
Devadvisham nigama vartmani nishtitanam
Bhubir mayena vihitabhir adrishyaturbihi
Bhubir mayena vihitabhir adrishyaturbihi
Lokan gdatam mati vimohan ati pralobham
Lokan gdatam mati vimohan ati pralobham
Vesham vidaya bahu vashyata opadarimyam
Vesham vidaya bahu vashyata opadarimyam
Devadvisham nigama vartmani nishtananam
Devadvisham nigama vartmani nishtitanam
Pubhir mayena vihita bhira drishya turbihi
Pubhir mayena vihita bhira drishya turbihi
Lokan gnatam mati vimohan ati pralobham
Lokan gnatam mati vimoham ati pralopam
Vesham vidaya bahu vashyata opadaranyam
Vesham vidaya bahu vashyata opadaranyam
Devan dvisham nigama vartmani nishtitanam
Devadvisham nigama vartmani nishtitanam
Bhir mayena vihita bhira drishya turbihi
Bhir mayena vihita bhira drishya turbihi
Lokangdatam mati vimohanati pralobham
Lokan gnatam mati vimoham ati pralopam
Vesham vidaya bahu vashyata apodarmyam
Vesham vidaya bahu vashyata opadarmyam
Okay, word for word. Devadvisham
Devadvisham.
Of those who were envious of the devotees of the Lord.
嫉妒至尊主的奉献者的人。
Nigama.
Nigama.
The Vedas.
Veda. 韦达经。
Vartmani.
Vartmani.
On the path of.
在什么的路途上。
Nishtitanam.
Nishtitanam.
Of the well situated.
成功的.
Purbi.
Could be
by rockets.
By rockets.
以火箭。
Mayena.
Mayena.
Made by the great scientist Maya.
由大科学家 Maya 造的。
Vihitavihi.
Made by.
制造。
Adrisha Turbihi.
Adrisha Turbihi.
Unseen in the sky.
在天空中隐形。
Lokan.
Lokan.
The different planets.
不同的星球。
Natam.
Natam.
Of the killers.
杀戮者的。
Mati Vimohan.
Mati Vimohan.
Bewilderment of the mind.
心中迷惑。
Ati Pralobham.
Ati Pralobham.
Very attractive.
Very 常有魅力的。
Vesham.
Vesham.
Dress.
衣服。
Vidhaya.
Vidhaya.
Having done so.
这样做以后。
Bahubashyate.
Bahubashyate.
Will talk very much.
非常健谈。
Opadharmyam.
Opadharmyam.
Sub-religious principles.
次要的宗教原则。
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada.
译文和要旨。
When the atheist, after being well versed in the Vedic scientific knowledge, annihilate inhabitants of different planets, flying unseen in the sky on well-built rockets, prepared by the great scientist Maya, the Lord will bewilder their mind by dressing himself attractively as Buddha.And will preach on sub-religious principles.
译文和要旨由施乐帕帕提供。译文：无神论者掌握伪科学的知识后，将乘坐由伟大的科学家玛雅制造的优质火箭隐形在空中飞行，消灭不同的星球上的居民。到那时，至尊主将把自己装饰成有吸引力的佛陀，传播次要的宗教原则，以迷惑他们。
Okay, read the purport, please.
要旨：这节诗中所说的至尊主的这个佛陀化身，不同于现在人类史中的佛陀化身。根据圣基瓦戈斯巴米的说法，这节诗提到的佛陀化身出现在另一个卡利年代里。在一个玛努的一生中有超过72个卡利年代，这节诗里提到的佛陀就在其中的一个卡利年代中显现。当人们变得极度的物质化时，至尊主的佛陀化身便来宣扬普通的常识般的宗教原则。非暴力 Ahimsa 本身虽然并不是宗教原则，但对于真正的宗教人士来说却是一项重要的品德，它基于害人者害自己的原则，劝导人们不要害其他动物或生物体，因此实际上是一个普通常识般的宗教原则。但在学习这些非暴力的原则前，人必须学习谦卑和不骄傲这两项原则。人除非谦卑和不骄傲，否则就做不到无害和非暴力。人做到非暴力后，便要学习忍受和简朴的生活。人必须向伟大的宗教传导者和灵性领袖致以敬意，并训练感官控制自己的行为，学习不依恋家庭，为至尊主做奉爱服务等等。最后， 人必须接受至尊主成为他的奉献者，否则便无宗教可言。神必须是宗教原则的中心，只是道德教诲的宗教原则不过是次要的宗教原则而已，一般来说成是接近宗教原则。 Upadaman。
Okay, I'll read the verse again.
我再读一次。
When the atheist, after being well versed in Vedic scientific knowledge, annihilate inhabitants of different planets, flying unseen in the sky on well-built rockets prepared by the great scientist Maya, the Lord will bewilder their minds by dressing himself attractively as Buddha and will preach on sub-religious principles.
译文：无神论者掌握伟大科学知识后，将乘坐由伟大的科学家玛雅制造的优质火箭隐形在空中飞行，消灭不同的星球上的居民。到那时，至尊主将自己装扮成有吸引力的佛陀，传播次要的宗教原则，以迷惑他们。
Om Gyana Timirandasya Janangana Shakaya Prachodam Miritam Janatasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Janabhutare Shrayan Rupa Kadamayam Bhagati Shloka Namaom Vishnu Padaya Shri Vishnu Prishtaya Bhutare Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Sarvati Deve Gauravani Prachare Shunyavadi Pachyadeshu Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Giradha Shivasadi Gopakanda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are speaking today from Sri Dhammaya.
今天这节课呢，是从 Sri Dhammayapu 讲述的。
And we are, we've been asked by Krishna Baladev Prabhu to speak today as he is traveling back to Taiwan.
因为今天 Krishna, Baladev Prabhu, 阿叔呢，他要回到台湾去，所以呢，今天这节课呢，他请求我来讲。
So it is our great fortune to be given the privilege to speak on his behalf.
所以我非常的幸运能够代表他来讲述今天的这节早课。
And when I looked at the verse, I was very surprised to see that this verse is of great interest to our Chinese yatra.
当我来看到今天的这节诗的时候呢，我感到很惊讶，因为今天这个世界对于我们中国的奉献者来说，那是大家都很感兴趣的一个世界内容。
So I pray we can extract from this verse and purport some very interesting observation, and that we can become more enlightened in our service to Guru and Krishna.
所以我祈祷着我们能够从今天的世界的译文和要旨的内容中呢提取精髓，使我们能够更加的被激励着去服务我们的 Guru 和 Krishna 和我们的师徒传心。
Srila Prabhupada in a purport made quite a few very important points that we are going to discuss.
Srila Prabhupada 在今天这世界的要旨里面呢提出了几个非常重要的要点，我们今天在这节讲课上都会一一的陈述。
But before that, I would like to point out some aspect of this discussion between Maharishi Parikshit and Shukadeva Goswami on the incarnation.
但是在这之前呢，我们先要来讲述一下 Parikshita 王和 Sukadeva Goswami 就主的化身的这个话题的一些要点。
Through this chapter, we see that Sukadeva Goswami gives a list of the different incarnations of the Supreme Lord.
在这一章里面呢，我们就可以看到 Sukadeva Goswami 他在列举主的一位一位的化身。
And these incarnations come, as the title of this chapter is saying, they come according to schedule.
那么在在这一章里面，他所提到的大部分的这些化身呢，是根据时间来显现的，根据这个日程来显现的。
When we talk about schedule, we talk about something which is planned ahead of time.
那么当我们在谈到日程的时候呢，也就是说，
here in Mayapur, when you walk around, you will see some big panels, and on those panels there is the entire schedule of the festival.
比如说在Mayapur, 我们在 Mayapur 的这个整个这个区域里面在走动的时候呢，我们会看到有很多的大的棚子，那么这大棚子里面呢，就在安排着各种各样的大的节日。
So practically speaking, quite a few months before the festival begins, you already know exactly what will happen at what time and who will be speaking.
那也就是说呢，在这些节日还没有开始的前几个月之前，你就已经有一个概念，都有什么样的节日会发生，都在什么时间发生，并且在这些节日中都有哪些圣人们会讲话。
And we should not forget that these activities of the Supreme Lord within the material world take place again and again since time immemorial.
而且我们必须要记得一件事情，就是自从远古以来，主他在物质世界所上演的这些逍遥时光都是在不断的进行着的。
All the incarnations appear in a scheduled manner since time immemorial again and again.
所有的这些化身呢，都是从自古以来就是按照一个时间安排好的这样的一个顺序，是一个又一个的不断的进行着的。
In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is mentioned that the incarnations of the Lord are as numerous as the waves of the ocean.
在 Chaitanya Charitamrita 永恒的 Chaitanya 经中就提到了，主的所有的这些化身就像是河流中溪流的波浪一样，数之不尽。
So when an incarnation appears in this material world,It's not the first time, and it's not the last time.
所以说呢，当一位主的化身他显现在这个物质世界的时候，他并不是头一次显现，也不是最后一次显现。
We know from the Bhagavad Gita the purpose why the Lord comes to this material world.
从圣典薄伽梵歌里面，我们也明白了主他为什么要显现在这个物质世界的意图。
One purpose is to annihilate.The demons.
其中一个目的呢，是为了要斩杀恶魔。
One purpose is to re-establish principles of religion.
其中的一个目的呢，是为了重新建立宗教原则。
And one purpose is to protect his devotees.
还有一个目的呢，是为了要保护他的奉献者们。
Out of those three purposes, the one that Krishna or any incarnation relishes the most is to be with his devotees.
在所有的这些目的中呢， Krishna 以及他所有的其他的化身最珍惜的一个原因就是和他们的奉献者们在一起。
So one thing that we have to understand is that because it's the material world,And we are dealing with the material energy. Everything is mechanical.
但我们有一件事情要理解，就是由于这是在物质世界，而且呢，我们在应对的是物质能量，所以一切呢都是机械性的。
The incarnations are the same.
这些化身们都是一样的。
The pastimes are the same.
逍遥时光也是一样的。
The schedule is the same.
这个日程安排也是一样的。
The people are the same.
人也是一样的。
The material elements are the same.
这些物质的元素都是一样的。
The same thing happens again and again.
就是同样的事情是一次又一次的反复的重复的。
So what we are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam is just a sample.
那么我们在圣典薄伽瓦坛里面所读到的这些内容呢，只不过是一些例子。
For example, the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is discussed and spoken amongst the demigods, is 100 times bigger than the one that we have on this earth planet.
Sorry, Prabhu, there was a little bit broken. You mean the demigods?
The demigods discussed the Srimad Bhagavatam is much bigger, much voluminous than the one that we have here.
比如说半神人们他们所探讨的圣典薄伽瓦坛呢，比我们现在在这儿所探讨的圣典薄伽瓦坛要更加的浩瀚以及更加的无限。
But whether the Srimad Bhagavatam is discussed in the heavenly planets or it's discussed in this earth planet, the same activities again and again take place.
但是无论圣典薄伽瓦坛是在天堂星宿中被讨论还是在地球上被讨论，那么这同样的这一活动呢，都是在不断的反复的重复着的。
The only time that things begin to change in the material world is when the spiritual energy is engaged in devotional service.
只有当灵性的能量它参与到了奉献服务中的时候，在物质世界里面的这个事情就会发生变化。
When devotional service takes place, then the time principle does not influence anything anymore.
所以呢，当这个奉献服务参与进来的时候呢，这个时间的原则它就不会再产生影响力了。
When transcendental knowledge, which brings one to the platform of pure devotional service, then there is no factor of past, present, and future.
当超然的知识被运用在这个灵性的奉献服务中的时候，那么这个时间它也就不会再有任何的过去、现在和将来的影响了。
And as it is mentioned in many places in the scriptures, when one is engaged in devotional service, there's no difference between being in the material world or being in the spiritual world.
在经典中反复的提到了，当一个人他在从事奉献服务的时候，也就无所谓他到底是在物质世界还是在灵性世界了。
But because this material world is influenced by the modes of material nature, there has to be some material structure.
但是呢，由于这个物质世界呢，它是被这个物质能量所影响的，所以呢，它必须要有一些物质的构成。
And this material structure facilitates the regular appearance and disappearance of different incarnations of the Lord.
而这个物质的这个构成呢，它也为这些主的化身的显现出现提供了条件。
So this topic of the incarnations is brought about by Shukadev Goswami in the same canto, the second canto, where we hear about the creation of this material world.
在同样的圣殿薄伽瓦坛的第二篇，当我们听到关于物质世界的创造这一篇的时候， Sukadeva Goswami 他也提到了关于化身这一话题。
And we know that in terms of time, the material world is structured with different kalpas, which is different ages, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali.
那我们知道在这个物质世界，由于这个时间因素的这个影响呢，使得这个物质世界它由时间的流程来构成，比如说它有各个 Kalpa， 然后呢它有不同的年代，它有 Satya 年代、 Trita 年代、Dorpa 年代还有卡利年代。
And within the time factor, excuse me, during the time factor of these different yugas, there are different avatars that appear.
而且在不同的这个年代呢，都会有不同的年代的化身的显现。
So there are different types of avatars. I'm sure Ashu has been spoken about this.
所以说呢，有不同的 avatar， 我相信阿叔肯定也都给大家详细的解释了这些 avatar。
We have Purusha avatars.
我们有 Purusha avatar.
That are.In charge of creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material world.
那么他们所管理的呢，是关于这个物质世界的创造、维系和毁灭。
There are guna avatar, such as Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva.
还有 guna avatar， 比如说主 Vishnu、Brahma， 还有主 Shiva。
There are lila avatar that are incarnations that come for the sake of pastimes.
还有 lila avatar， 他们的显现呢是为了要上演消耗时光的。
There are shaktyavesh avatar who are empowered living entities in this material world.
还有 shaktyavesh shaktyavesh avatar。那他们呢是在这个物质世界被赋予了力量的伟大的人物。
There are Mandvantar avatar that are in charge of producing living entities.
还有 Mandvantar avatar， 他们的主要的这个功能呢是为了要繁，就是要创造生物体。
And they also establish the rules how to perform duty in this material world.
还有建立起原则，如何在这个物质世界里面去履行各自的职责。
So here Prabhupada explains at the beginning of the purport that during one Manu, there are 72 Kali Yugas.
所以在今天这个世界的钥匙在最开始的时候呢，舍利弗就说了，在一个马努的一生中呢，一共有超过72个年代。
So from memory, I know there are 17 Manus during the time of Brahma.
那如果我要是还记得的话呢，就是在主 Brahma 的一生里面呢，是有17位 Manu。
And the Manu who is existing now is at halfway of Brahma's life, which is Brahma lives for 100 years, and the Manu that exists now is at Brahma's 50th year.
那么我们现在所生活的这个时候的这位 Manu 呢，是主 Brahma 他的一生中的刚好是半生的这个位置，也就是主 Brahma 他一生是100年的寿命。那么现在我们所在的这位 Manu， 他是在主 Brahma 的50岁的这个年龄的这个阶段。
So when Prabhupada says in one Manu there are 72 Kali Yugas, it means there is also 72 Satya Yuga, 72 Treta Yuga, 72 Dwapara Yuga, and 72 Kali Yuga.
那么在这个钥匙里面，说爸爸说，在一个 Manu 的一生中呢，有超过72个卡利年代。那也就意味着有超过72个的 Satya 年代、Trita 年代还有 Dwapara 年代。
Yes. So each time there are different sets of incarnation.
所以在每一个年代呢都会有不同的一系列的化身。
Now, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 3,Shukadev Goswami also gives a list of the different incarnations.
在圣典薄伽瓦坛第一篇的第三章里面呢，圣 Shukadev Goswami 呢，他也给我们列了一系列的化身的名单。
And in that list, Shukadev Goswami also mentions Lord Buddha.
在那个名单里 Sukadeva Goswami 他也提到了主婆陀。
And here he's also mentioning one Buddha.
那么在这里呢也提到了一位佛陀。
But the Buddha which is listed in the first canto is not the same Buddha which is listed in this verse.
但是呢在圣殿伯扎瓦坛第一篇里面所提到的这位佛陀和我们在今天这个世界里面所提到的这位佛陀不是一位佛陀。
Which means that they are different Buddhas that appear in each yuga. Very well. Can you hear?
First of all, I cannot hear you. I don't know if it's because of my problem or your problem. Sorry, I didn't hear the whole thing what you said just now.
What's the last thing that you heard?
I heard you were trying to explain the differences between the Buddha. Mm-hmm. You're trying to say...
Yeah, okay. So, I said that the Buddha which we know from in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is not the same Buddha which is presented here in this verse.
Yeah. 那么我刚才讲到的呢就是在圣殿伯扎瓦坛第一篇里面所提到的这位佛陀和我们今天在这个世界里面所提到的这位佛陀并不是一位佛陀。
The Bhagavatam also in many places refers to different incarnations that appear in other yugas than the one that we are familiar with, that we don't know about.
We are familiar with or we are not familiar with?
Yes, for example, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear of the pastime of Varahadev, the boar incarnation.
Uh-huh. Okay. 那么就是我们在圣殿伯扎瓦坛里面有些地方呢也会听到一位这个化身的显现，但是呢我们可能就是对于他的这个故事呢在另外一个年代里面并不是很熟悉。比如说呢我们在圣殿伯扎瓦坛里面听到了主 Varahadev 的显现。
So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the pastime of Varahadev, Varaha is described as being of a reddish color.
那在圣殿伯扎瓦坛里面当在提到主 Varahadev 的时候呢他被描述成是红色的。
But in another place, he is described as being white.
但是呢，在另外一个地方呢，他又被描述成是白颜色的。
So if you don't understand how the Bhagavatam works, you may think, well, is it red or is it white or what? This is confusing. But actually, it's not confusing. Is that Varaha appears in every yuga, and each time he may have a different color.
所以如果你要是不理解这个圣殿伯扎瓦坛它的行文的这个逻辑的话呢你可能就会感到很困惑这主瓦尔哈它到底是红色的还是白色的呢但其实呢如果你要理解了的话呢其实就不是很困惑因为我们就可以知道主瓦尔哈德它在不同的年代显现在不同的 yoga 在显现了以后呢它会可能以不同的颜色显现的。
Another example is Narada Muni speaking to Śrīla Vyāsadeva.
另外一个例子呢就是圣 Narada Muni 对Śrīla Vyāsadeva 讲话。
And he tells Śrīla Vyāsadeva his life story.
他向 Śrīla Vyāsadeva 讲述了他的故事他的人生故事。
So Narada Muni is the spiritual master of Śrīla Vyāsadeva.
那 Narada Muni 呢他是 Srila Vyasadeva 的灵性导师。
And he is also the son of Lord Brahma.
而且呢他也是主 Brahma 的儿子。
But then when he tells Vyasadeva about his life story, he tells him that he was the son of a maidservant.
但是呢当他在向 Srila Vyasadeva 在讲述他的人生故事的时候呢他又说他是一位女仆的儿子。
So how can he be the son of a maid servant and at the same time the son of Lord Brahma?
所以呢你怎么可能同时是一位女仆的儿子但又是主 Brahma 的儿子呢
Because being the son of a maidservant took place in a different kalpa, a different time.
因为呢，他是女仆的这个儿子是在不同的 kalpa， 在不同的这个时间显现的时候的那个身份。
So this Buddha, which is referred to here in this verse, is a Buddha that appeared in a different Kali Yuga.
所以说呢，在今天这个世界里面所提到的主佛陀，他是在不同的一个卡利年代里面显现的佛陀。
And we have to be very careful here, not thinking that anyone.You see, in the Buddhist philosophy, in one of the different aspects of Buddhist philosophy, it's mentioned that everyone is a Buddha and everyone can become a Buddha.
我们要知道，在我们的这个佛家的教导里面，佛学的理论里面，他就会提到了，每一个人都有可能成佛。
This is not what the Bhagavatam is referring to here.
那么这个呢，并不是圣典不教瓦坦在这里面所提及到的，所指的内容。
Buddha, Lord Buddha falls into the category of a Shaktivesh avatar.
那主佛陀呢，他是属于 Shaktivesh avatar 的这个类别的化身。
Which means he is an empowered living entity to.Represent the Supreme Lord and His teachings.
也就是说呢，他是一位被赋予了力量的人物，代表主来展示主的教导。
But, I mean, any living entity, any conditioned souls could be empowered by Krishna.
但是任何一位生物体都有可能被主 Krishna 所赋予力量。
But it's not like every living entity all become Buddhas.
但是并不是说所有的这个生物体全部都变成了主佛陀。
So this is the difference between the statement of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Buddhist philosophy.
所以这就是圣典薄伽瓦坛里面的观点与佛陀的，就是与这个我们的佛家的教义之间的区别所在。
And this is where you can understand how Buddhism split into different teachings because they did not all agree on the same principles of Buddhism.
那么所以我们这也可以看到就是在这个佛学的教导中他们所宣扬的不同的这个理念而且呢这个佛教他们也并不是有相同的完全一样的理念的。
The Theravada Buddhism has different ideas than the Mahayana Buddhism, different ideas.
那就比如说有这个大乘佛教，还有这个小乘佛教，他们的这个教义都是不一样的。
And Pure Land Buddhism has different ideas.
有净土宗也有不同的教义。
So.Prabhupada then explains that the main contribution of Buddha in this material world is to propagate ahimsa, which is non-violence.
那释迦牟尼说呢，佛陀他在这个物质世界里面最大的贡献就是宣扬非暴力的原则 ，ahimsa 的原则。
Whether it is in this Kali Yuga or another Kali Yuga, Buddha always comes for this purpose.
无论是在这个卡利年代还是在其他的卡利年代，主佛陀他总是因为这个目的而显现。
And in each Kali Yuga, the materialistic people, as it is mentioned in this verse, are very, very, very absorbed in materialistic activities.
那么在这个世界里面就提到了，在每一个卡利年代的这些物质主义者呢，他们都会非常的沉醉在物质的活动之中。
And materialism means atheism.
那么这个物质主义者也就意味着是无神论者。
Now we see today in the age of Kali how the scientists and the great thinkers of this world, how they explore the material energy.
那么在当今的这个卡利年代呢，我们也可以看到这些这个伟大的科学家们以及这些伟大的思想家们，他们是如何在剥削着物质的能量。
But the result of this scientific exploration is actually destruction. It's very, very destructive.
就是他们在这个探求着这个物质能量，但是他们所做的这个事情呢，最后所导致的这个结果都是非常的具有毁灭性的。
But there are materialistic people in other Kali Yugas who are very subtle and very refined and very powerful in managing the material energy.
但是呢，在其他的卡利年代的一些物质主义者，他们其实要更加的细微，要更加的精微，而且呢，他们以更就是更好、更细微的一种方式在管理着物质的能量。
Like here it's mentioned, flying unseen in the sky by well-built rockets.
比如说，在这里面就讲到了，他们是乘坐着由就是乘坐着非常的精致的打造的优质的火箭，隐形的在空中飞行。
Like rocket ships, when the scientists build these rocket ships to go to the moon.
就好像是这些科学家们他们所为了要去到月球而建造的火箭。
They spend billions of dollars, and sometimes the rocket ship collapses as soon as it takes off.
会花掉成亿万的这个美金而建造这样的火箭，但有的时候呢，当这个火箭一发射出去，立刻就毁灭了。
But
立刻就消毁了。
The rocket ships that are built by the scientist Maya, and I think Maya here means Maya Danava.Which is also mentioned in the Mahabharata, then this is very, very advanced science.
但是在这里面所提到的有伟大的科学家 Maya, 那么这位 Maya 呢应该指的是 Maya Danava, 这位科学家在 Mahabharata 中也被提到了，那他是一位非常的伟大的了不起的科学家。
So these are very powerful mystic yogis,who can practically create a planet, they can create a city, they have this ability to create things that are very powerful.
那他呢是非常的具有力量的、具有能量的玄秘的瑜伽师。那他可以建造出一个星球，他可以建造出一个城市。
But ultimately, the result is the same. It's destruction of the material.World.
但是呢，终结来说呢，它这个结果都是一样的，它会毁灭，它会毁掉这个物质世界。
And destruction doesn't mean just that things collapse. Destruction means that people give up religious principles.
那这样的毁灭呢，并不仅仅是说这个东西坏掉了，而是说呢，人们会放弃掉宗教原则。
And this is why incarnations come on a regular basis. They are scheduled because in the material world, things have the tendency to fall apart all the time.
那也就是因为这个原因呢，使得这些化身呢，他们是会按照时间的安排一位一位的显现的。因为在这个物质世界，本来就是这些事物它是会在一段时间内就会消亡，就会不在的。
So one way to look at it is not that every incarnation comes to make the material world better. Every incarnation comes to help people to rise above the modes of material nature and enter into spiritual activities.
所以我们从这个角度上来看呢，并不是说每一位化身他来都是为了要让这个物质世界变得更好，而是为了要帮助生物体能够超越这个物质的属性，然后呢，能够让自己处在超然的层面中。
Now, Prabhupada mentions in the next point that ahimsa, which is non-violence, is not a religious principle in itself.
然后舍利帕帕在这里面又提到了 ahimsa, 它本身呢并不是宗教原则。
It's a good quality to have, Prabhupada says. It's good to be non-violent, but it doesn't mean that you're spiritual because you are non-violent.
那么舍利帕帕说呢，这个 ahimsa 非暴力呢，它是一个拥有的很好的品质，但并不意味着你是 ahimsa 的，所以呢，你就是灵性化的。
Like Prabhupada says, it's good to be vegetarian, but it doesn't mean that you're spiritual because you're vegetarian.
比如说，舍利帕帕说呢，我们能够成为素食者是非常好的，但并不意味着你吃素了，所以你就是一个修，就是一个具有灵性的人了。
You are spiritual when you offer your vegetarian food to Krishna. Then you are spiritual.
但是呢，当你把你的素食的食物供奉给 Krishna 了以后，这会儿你才会变得灵性化。
Prabhupada says to be non-violent is common sense. It should be obvious to people that if they want to progress forward, then they should be non-violent.
舍利帕帕说呢，非暴力它应该是一个常识，人们本来就应该意识到这一点。如果一个人他想前行的话，想要进步的话，他就应该让自己是处于非暴力的状态下的。
So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his teaching to Rupa Goswami explains there are different levels of human beings.
在 Chaitanya Charitamrita 永恒的 Chaitanya 经中，当主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 教导 Srila Rupa Goswami 的时候呢，他说呢，人类他分有不同的级别。
There are human beings that are practically non-different than animals.
那么有一些人呢，和动物之间没有任何的区别。
And then there are human beings who follow the path of Varnashram.
那还有一些人呢，他会遵守 Varnashram 的原则。
And Varnashram doesn't mean devotional service. It means following the rules and regulations given in the Vedas.
那么瓦尔纳商它其实并不意味着是在从事奉献服务，而是指的是按照韦达经所给予的规范和原则生活。
And among those who follow the Varnashram system, some begin to purify themselves by performing all sorts of pious activities.
那么那些在遵守这瓦尔纳商体系的这些人们中呢，有些是通过这个进行虔诚的这个活动，然后使自己呢变得更加的精进。
And among them, some will begin to cultivate knowledge so they can find out their spiritual identity.
那么在这些人中呢，他们有些人可能会去探求知识，最终呢就能够发现自己的灵性的身份。
Then of those gyanis, some will become yogis.
那么在这些 gyani 中，思辨家中呢，有些就会变成了瑜伽师。
And they will realize their eternal relationship with Krishna.
然后他们就能够觉悟到自己和 Krishna 之间的永恒的身份。
And among them will be the bhaktas, the devotees of Krishna.
那么在他们中间呢，还会有一些
So, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanavam Mam Prapadyante Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. After many, 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 many lifetimes, one will cultivate knowledge, and of those who cultivate knowledge, one will know me in truth. This person is very rare.
所以在《薄伽梵歌》中 ，Krishna 说，在经过了很多很多很多很多生世之后呢，一个人他可能就会去培养知识。那么在这些培养知识中的人呢，他会了解真理，但是这样的人是非常的罕见的。
So to be non-violence, which is the main teachings of Buddha, there's nothing really spiritual about it.
所以说呢，主佛陀他所教导的非暴力的这个主要的教导，其实和灵性是没有任何关系的。
Ahimsa is also the very first principle of the teachings of Patanjali in the Yoga Sutra.
Patanjali 在瑜伽经中的教导最就是最首当其冲的一个教导，也是这个 Ahimsa 非暴力的原则的教导。
So Prabhupada, it's quite interesting how Prabhupada presents the situation, because he says, first of all, it is common sense. In other words, it is expected that a human being will be non-violent.
对，舍勒帕帕的他向我们展示这个要点的这种方法是非常的有意思的。首先呢，他说呢，这个 Ahimsa 它是一个就是一个非常的自然的一个常识，也就意味着它并不是一个灵性的知识。
Now, to not hurt animals or to not hurt another living being, you have to be quite knowledgeable. You have to have a clean heart.
但是呢，不伤害动物，不伤害其他的生物体。的前提就是我们必须要有知识，我们必须要一个非常的干净的内心才可以做到。
Because for most people, it's not common sense at all.
因为对于大部分的人来说呢，他们根本就不觉得这是一常识。
To slaughter animals and to eat meat and to go to war and kill people, for people is just part of life.
就是这个屠杀动物，然后吃掉动物的肉，或者是到战场上去杀人，这对于很多人来说呢，这只不过是他们的生命的一部分，生活的一部分。
But based on the teachings of Buddha and based on the teachings of the Vedas, to be non-violent is just, it's expected to be that way. You're supposed to be born as a non-violent person.
但是呢，根据佛陀的教导，根据伟达经的教导呢，这个非暴力的这个原则，就本来是应该非常自然的一件事儿。我们从一出生开始就是应该是一位非暴力的人。
But sometimes you see even children who play in a sand pit. You know what is a sand pit, Danakili?
Yeah.
When children play in the sand.And then they build their little castle, and then they start fighting over it. Even children fight over these things.
Yeah, 但是有时候我们看孩子们在玩这个沙子，比如说就在这个沙堆上，他建起一个城堡的时候，然后呢，孩子们就会为这个城堡去进行争夺打架。
So if they fight over a little piece of sand when they are children, imagine what they do when they are adults.
所以当这个孩子他们是孩童的时候，就会为一些沙子而进行争抢的时候，我们可以想象一下他长大成一位大人之后，他会怎么样去争抢。
Now Prabhupada makes a very interesting point here. He says, unless, he says, before being non-violent, there are two qualities you must cultivate.One is humility, and the other one is pridelessness.
那舍勒帕帕在这里面呢，就提到了非常有意思的事情。他说呢，当一个人在变得非暴力之前呢，他首先呢要具有两项品质。那一项呢是谦卑，另外一项呢是不骄傲。
And when you look at it, it's actually a very important statement because.You can't be non-violent unless you are humble.
所以当我们仔细的去读这个这句话的时候呢，我们就会发现它是一个非常重要的一个教导，因为我们意识到了这人他除非谦卑，否则他不可能变得非暴力。
And Prabhupada used to say that once one becomes a devotee, they won't even hurt an ant.
舍勒帕帕他曾经就讲过，当一个人他成为了奉献者之后呢，他就连一只蚂蚁也不会伤害。
So when you, the principles, spiritual principles actually make you humble. And because you are humble, then you see that being non-violent is very natural.
所以呢，这个灵性的原则呢，会让你变得谦卑。而当你变得谦卑之后呢，你就会发现这非暴力这种做法是非常的自然的做法。
But Patanjali goes much further in his explanation of the meaning of non-violence.
但是 Patanjali 在解释非暴力这一原则的时候呢，他解释的更加的深刻。
He says non-violence is not just don't hurt animals, don't hurt other living entities. It also means don't bring anxiety to people and don't bring anxiety to yourself. That is also violence.
他说呢，这个非暴力并不仅仅是不要去伤害其他的动物，不要去伤害其他的生物体，而且这非暴力它也意味着不要去给其他的生物体带来焦虑，而且呢，也不要给你自己带来焦虑，因为这个也是施暴。
So then Prabhupada says the result of being non-violent is that one becomes tolerant.
舍尔法巴说，当一个人他变得非暴力之后呢，其结果就是他会变得容忍。
So when you are non-violent and you are humble and you are tolerant, it means that your heart is now open for spiritual progress.
对呢，当你变得非暴力之后呢，你就会变得谦卑，变得容忍。那也就意味着此时你的心呢就敞开，然后就可以进行灵性上的前进了。
And spiritual progress means two things.
灵性的进步意味着两件事情。
One thing is you learn to appreciate and respect those who teach principles of religion.
那么第一点呢，就是你学着去尊重以及欣赏那些教导灵性的原则的老师。
And the other is you become naturally detached from material life.
那么第二点呢，就是你会变得非常自然的，不再去依附物质的生活了。
So this is where spiritual life begins, really.
所以呢，这个才是我们的灵性的生活真正开始的地方。
And this is also where Vaishnava philosophy departs from the whatever commonality that Vaishnavism has with Buddhism.
而且呢，这也是我们的这个Vaishnava 哲学与这个宗，就是这个佛教的教义之间的区别所在。
Because oftentimes in China, people ask us, "What is the difference between Bhakti Yoga and Vaishnavism and Buddhism?"
因为在中国呢，很多时候我们都会被中国人问到这个 Vaishnava 宗，也就是这个奉爱宗和我们的佛教的哲学理念到底有什么区别？
Because there are actually many things in common.
因为确实有很多东西是非常的相像的。
When it comes to sadhana, when it comes to rituals, when it comes to philosophy, analysis of the material world, you'll find the same thing on both sides.
因为我们当在讲到这个哲学的时候，然后呢会讲到我们的 sadhana 的时候，以及对这个物质世界的分析的时候，我们就会发现这两者之间是有很多相同之处的。
So people ask, what is the difference?
所以人们就会问，这他们的区别是什么呀？
And the difference is that when you practice bhakti yoga, you're going back to the spiritual world.
区别就在于，当你在修行 Bhakti Yoga 奉爱瑜伽的时候，你最终会回到灵性世界去。
When you practice Buddhism, you may be free from suffering for some time, but then you come back here.
当你在修习佛教的时候呢，佛教的教义的时候，你也许可能在一段时间内会摆脱痛苦，但是经过一段时间之后，你还是会回到这个物质世界里来的。
So Buddha, as a Shaktivesh avatar, does not have a planet in Vaikuntha where all the Buddhist followers can go to.
所以说呢，作为佛陀这样一位Shaktivesh avatar 的化身呢，在 Vaikuntha 星宿里并没有一个佛陀的星宿，使得修习佛教的这些人最后能够去到的那个地方。
Like in Pure Land Buddhism, they have the western part of Pure Land Buddhism where people go to finish their training, but once they finish their training, they got to come back down to help other people.
比如说这个净土宗，就是在西方净土有这么一块地方，使得修习净土宗的这些修行者们会到那个地方去进行训练。然后在他们培训一段时间之后呢，他们还会再回到这个物质世界去帮助其他的人。
So in many ways, Pure Land Buddhism has a lot in common with Bhakti Yoga because in Pure Land Buddhism, the path to perfection is to repeat constantly, Amitabha, 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 Amitabha.
那么这个净土宗的这个修习方法，在某种意义上来讲，和我们的 Bhakti Yoga 的修习方法是一样的，因为他们要不断的去念诵阿弥陀佛的名号。
And in Bhakti Yoga, the process is to chant Hare Krishna all the time.
而我们的 Bhakti Yoga 的这个练习方式呢，是我们不断的去念诵 Hare Krishna 的圣名。
But the difference is when you chant Hare Krishna purely, you return to the spiritual world. When you chant Amitabha all the time, you may go to Pure Land, to the Pure Land.But Pure Land is within the material world, and the material world at some point is destroyed.
嗯，所以呢，他们之间的这个区别就在于，如果我们要是非常纯粹的去念诵 Hare Krishna 的圣名的话，最终我们就会回到灵性世界。可是如果我们要是非常纯粹的去念诵阿弥陀佛的名号的话呢，我们也许可能会去到净土，就是西方极乐的这个净土。但是这个西方极乐的净土呢，它还是在这个物质世界里面的，而这个物质世界它在某一个时刻它是会被毁掉的。
So we, the Acharyas have written actually extensively on the role of Buddha.
那我们的 Acharya 呢，他们是非常的这个延展的，给我们描述了主佛陀的他的角色的。
And they all explain that the role of Buddha in this material world is to distract people, to stop them from being violent, to stop them from being materialistic.
那所有的这些超人们，当他们在描述主佛陀这一形象的时候，他们都说，主佛陀他主要做的事情呢，就是为了要使在物质世界的这些物质主义者们能够分神，从而呢让他们能够停止进行他们的这个在物质世界的这些物质的活动。
And that allows for the principles of religion to be established so that people can actually make progress spiritually.
那然后这样的话呢，就可以使这个to establish the principles of religion and then to make people become
yes.
okay. 那然后这么做了以后呢，就可以使这个宗教的原则可以被建立起来，从而使得人们有机会变得具有灵性化。
And Prabhupada concludes his purport that ultimately people should learn to be detached from this material world and by keeping Krishna in the center. Otherwise, those.Principles established by Buddha, they are only, he calls them Upadharma. They're not even religious principles.
所以呢，舍利巴巴呢，他最后他总结就说呢，人必须要接受至尊主，成为他的奉献者，否则便无宗教可言。那么他把他他说神必须他是以这个 Krishna 为中心的，否则的话呢，他就是 Upadharma， 也就意味着是无义的。
And it's not something that the Buddhists are hiding. They will tell you very clearly that there is no God. They will tell you very clearly there is no soul.
而且呢，这个佛教的教导呢，它 是大大方方的会跟你说是没有神的，是没有灵魂的。
So Buddhism is actually very helpful, but it doesn't give the ultimate goal of life.
这个佛教的教导呢是很有益的，但是它不能够赐予我们生命的最终的目标。
So in this way, every incarnation has a very specific purpose.
所以呢，每一位化身，他们都有自己的特定的目的。
So I will stop here.
我讲课这一部分呢，就到这儿。
Maybe some of you has questions.
Yes, there is a question here. Vedavati Manaji. From Hui Fang, I think, from Shandong. Hare Krishna, 请拜帕布和翻译。您讲到了了解真理的人是罕见的。真理指的是我是至尊主永恒的仆人吗？ Hare Krishna, please accept my very humble obeisances. You mentioned that very rare of the people actually know the absolute truth. So does that mean the absolute truth here means that we understand we are the eternal servant of the Supreme Lord?
Exactly.
是的。
Exactly.
是的。
To know the absolute truth is to know that you are an eternal servant of Krishna, and that your eternal activity of Krishna is to perform devotional service. If you know that, knowing it's not just like, it's not a piece of information. Knowing means realizing.
那么这个确实是了解了这个绝对的真理，也就意味着我是至尊主永恒的仆人，而且并且我要从事的活动就是永远都是在从事奉献服务。但是去了解它并不意味着是我只是知道它了，而是意味着我要去践行它。我已经觉悟到了这一点。
Like when we come the first time in contact with Krishna consciousness, it's written, we open the book, we open Bhagavad Gita, and we get to read that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and we are his eternal servants. So you can say, now I know. Well, maybe you know, but you haven't realized it. The process of bhakti will give you the realization.
那比如说呢，当我们刚刚进入 Krishna 知觉的时候呢，我们就会要我们来阅读薄伽梵歌。当我们翻开薄伽梵歌的书的时候呢，就告诉我们，我们并不是这个躯体，我是永恒的灵魂，我是主 Krishna 的仆人。那么现在呢，当我说我了解了这个真理的时候，也就意味着我不仅仅是知道了这个道理，而且呢，我是觉悟到了它。而我们的奉献服务的这个程序呢，是会帮助我们最终觉悟到这一点的。
Now, that verse which is quoted by Krishna and Bhagavad Gita refers to the jnanis and the yogis, which takes many, many, many lifetimes to come to such a realization. But for the devotees, Prabhupada says, you can attain pure bhakti in one moment.
在 Krishna, 就是在薄伽梵歌里面 ,Krishna 所提到的这个师节里面呢，指的是那些瑜伽师和思辨家们，他们可能要花很多很多很多的这个生死才能够最终得到这一觉悟。但是舍尔帕帕说，作为 Krishna 的一位奉献者，他可能在一个片刻就能够觉悟到这一点。
And we also have to understand that it doesn't matter how many lifetime you spend cultivating knowledge or practicing yoga.Unless you come in contact with a pure devotee of Krishna, your spiritual life cannot begin.
而且呢，我们还了解到了，就是无论你花了多长时间去耕耘知识，或者说呢，你花了多长时间去练习瑜伽，但是如果你要是没有这个运气碰到一位 Krishna 知觉的奉献者的话，你的这个灵修的这个生活是不能开始的。
Only through a devotee you can go to Krishna.
因为只有通过奉献者，你才能够去到 Krishna 那里。
Now there are three levels of attaining Krishna.
那达到 Krishna 呢有三个层面。
One, as I mentioned, Prabhupada says, you can be purely Krishna conscious in one moment.
那么其中一个呢，就像说了爸爸说的，你可以在一个片刻间就变得具有 Krishna 知觉。
Another is Prabhupada explains that in this lifetime, you can attain pure bhakti and go back to Krishna.
那么另外一个层面呢，就是说了爸爸说呢，你可以在这一生中通过修习，然后变得纯粹，然后呢可以去回到 Krishna 那里。
Then Samacharya explains it may take three lifetimes.
那还有一些 Acharya 们他们解释说呢，也许可能要花三生。
You have this human form of life, then next life you get more training, and then third life you meet Krishna face to face.
也就是说呢，这一世呢，你得到了人类的身形，然后下一世呢，得到更多的训练。然后再下一世第三世的时候呢，就能够面对面的见到主 Krishna 了。
And then there's another option, but it's not the option that we choose, is that as long as we remain offensive to the holy name, offensive to the devotees, offensive to the scriptures, then there is no time limit before we ever see Krishna.
那还有一个可能，那这种可能呢是我们不想要的，这种可能我们不被推荐的，也就是说如果我们要是始终让自己处在一个冒犯的状态，冒犯经典，冒犯圣明，冒犯奉献者的话，那可能我们就会经过无限的长的这个时间才有可能去见到Krishna了。
But definitely when and this is the reason whyLord Chaitanya spread the Sankirtan movement, because what we do by giving Krishna to other people is we begin their spiritual life. We plant the seed so that if not in this lifetime, in the next lifetime, they'll get a better chance.
那也就是为什么也就这个原因使得主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，他会掀起这个 Sankirtan 运动，也就是通过这个 Sankirtan 运动呢，我们会把这个 Krishna 知觉的这个种子播给其他的人，使得人们呢在内心中有这么一个种下的这么一个种子，所以可能他在这一世也许可能没什么希望，但是他在下一世呢就会有更多的这种机会。
So Prabhupada says, don't waste time. Finish the business in this life.
所以说了爸爸说呢，我们不应该浪费任何的时间，我们应该在这一生就让自己完成所有的这些事情。
Okay. Any other question?
Yes. Next question still from Vidavati Mataji. Hare Krishna, 请问跑步在联谊时不去陪 Mataji 们聊除 Krishna 之外的话题，是不是一种骄傲？谢谢。Hare Krishna Prabhu, my question is that during the association program, if I am not accompanying the Matajis to chat, whatever the topic have nothing to do, Lord Krishna is a sign that I am proud. Thank you.
She's saying that if she goes to a program and the topic is not interesting to her, she doesn't want to hear. Is that what she's saying?
Well, kind of, but here is she particular to mention that the topic has nothing to do with the Lord, with Krishna.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah. Maybe the topic is like practicality of devotee life.
You are asking the clarifying the question, or you are.
Well, I'm just asking you. Maybe that's what it is.
No. Well, basically, I think, okay. Let me say it this way. I think her question is that if she's not the chit chat with the other Matajis, if that is a kind of sign showing that she's very proud.
Yeah, it could be. I'm not saying it is, but it could be.
Okay, 那么这样哈，就是我并不是说是这肯定说你是骄傲的，但是有可能意味着你是骄傲的。
I'll give you an example of something happened yesterday here in Mayapur.
比如说呢，我现在给你举一个昨天在 Mayapur 发生的一个例子。
So after Guru Puja, I went upstairs, you know, where they give the Bhagavatam class.
嗯，然后在 Guru Puja 之后呢，我就去到了楼上的，上圣典温家瓦坦早课的那个课堂上，一个教室里。
And when I walked in, I saw the devotee who was giving class. I know him, but he's not a famous devotee at all.
嗯，那么当我走进这个教室的时候呢，我就见到了要讲课的这位奉献者。那么这位讲课的奉献者呢，他并不是一位非常有名的奉献者。
And there were not many devotees sitting there.
而当时在教室里面呢，也并没有很多的奉献者坐在那儿。
So my ego told me when I walked in, oh, what kind of class is he going to give?
所以说呢，当我走进教室的时候，我的假我就告诉我，哎呀，他能讲什么课呢？
But to hear the Bhagavatam, it doesn't matter who speaks. Our duty is to hear.
但是呢，去聆听圣典波扎瓦坦的讲课，并不在于到底是谁来讲，而作为我们的职责呢，是我们要听圣典波扎瓦坦。
And the whole class, the devotee just spoke about his own realization.
那么在整个这堂课里面呢，这位奉献者他只是在讲述他自己的觉悟。
And I came out of the class and I learned so much.
但是我呢，在这节课里面我学到了很多。
So I was happy that I had made the effort to go and sit and listen to the class.
嗯，所以呢，我就特别的开心，我真正的去到了这个教室，然后呢，听了这节讲课。
So I would say if this situation is regular, that the program that you go to, people just chit-chat, then you should talk to the leaders about it. But if it's just, you know, occasional, then just tolerate, and maybe you'll get something good out of it.
嗯，所以说如果要是您去参加的这个联谊，如果要是大家总是在闲聊的话呢，那您可能可以把这件事情和你们的领导来反映一下。但如果要是这种闲聊的这种状态只不过是临时的一种状态的话，那您应该尽量的去容忍这种状态。
嗯 ，OK。
嗯 ，So the next one is from Olivia Mataji. Hare Krishna, Dingbai Prabhu. 感恩翻译，
Olivia.
请问我 ，Yeah。请问我们如何向佛教徒传教，将这更高的真理，将父爱服务给予他们？感恩您的仁慈。Hare Krishna, please accept my very humble obeisances. My question is that how to impart our knowledge to the Buddhist followers, I mean to the Buddhist, and to give them this more higher absolute truth, and also to let them figure out a way to make them engage in the devotional service. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, first of all, Buddhist people are quite respectful to any other spiritual path. That's my observation.
那首先呢，就是这些佛教徒们，他们对于其他的任何一种灵修的道路都是非常的尊重的。
The other thing is that most of the Buddhist people in China don't really know Buddhist philosophy.
还有另外一件事情呢，就是在中国的大部分的佛教徒，他们其实并不知道佛教的教导到底是什么。
Some people they study very carefully and they know their stuff, but most Chinese people have no clue about Buddhist philosophy.
那有些人他们是非常仔细的在研读佛教的教义，但是大部分的中国的佛教徒是完全的不理解佛教的教义到底是什么的。
Thirdly, even among those who know Buddhist philosophy very well, very, very few know about the Buddha and Buddhist philosophy as it was found in India.
So they don't know they are found from India.
No, you don't understand. Of those who know Buddhist philosophy very well, very few actually know the Buddhist philosophy that came out of India.
Yeah, that's what I, yeah, yeah. 那么就是即便是那些非常的认真的研读佛学教义的这些人，也很少有人真正的知道这个佛家的教导是起源于印度的。
So, what options do we have?
所以我们有什么选择呢？
One is you have to be quite conversant and learned in what is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam and what the Acharyas are teaching, so you can have a proper conversation on the philosophical basis.
首先呢，我们自己应该是非常的精通这个教导的，我们应该非常的了解在博迦瓦坛以及这个相应的经典里面对于佛教的这些教导的理念教义都是些什么。这样的话，当我们在和他们在进行讨论的时候呢，我们就有很好的谈资。
The other is that Buddhist people love to dance and they love to chant.
还有另外非常的喜欢念诵以及很喜欢跳舞的。
So chanting Amitabha, chanting Om Mani Padme Om, chanting Hare Krishna, people like chanting.
对呢，他们喜欢念诵阿弥陀佛的名号，也喜欢念诵 Om Mani Padme Om 的名号，也喜欢念诵 Hare Krishna 的名号，所以他们喜欢念诵唱诵。
And of course, no Chinese Buddhist will refuse prasadam.
而且还有一点呢，就是没有任何一位中国的佛教徒他们会拒绝 prasadam。
So you have to try what works the best, but the best I would say, you see, the best is a devotee's attitude and behavior, because a devotee's attitude and behavior is a reflection of their own practice of bhakti yoga.
那么所以说呢，我们要自己去看哪一种方式是最好的接近他们的方式，见者他所展现出来的行为和举止，因为一位奉献者他所展现出来的行为和举止也就直接折射了他自己的这个修行。
Never look down on the Buddhists because you think that the process of bhakti is superior.
所以呢，永远都不要去轻看一位修佛的人。因为我们轻看他是因为自己觉得好像我们的这个Bhakti 的这个修行要更加的高级。
Here in the purport it's mentioned humility and pridelessness.
所以呢，在我们今天的这个要旨里面呢，舍拉帕帕就提到了谦卑和不骄傲。
So when you come in contact with practicing Buddhists,When they see your mood, when they see your attitude, when they see your behavior, they will want to experience something that you have to share.
所以呢，当你去接近一位佛教徒的时候，当他们看到了你所展现出来的心绪，你所展现出来的行为，你的举止，你的品质的时候呢，他们就愿意去了解一下您现在在修的这个路途到底是怎么回事。
And what you have to share can be either prasadam, chanting, or philosophy.
那么您可以跟他们分享的呢，要不然就是唱诵，或者是 prasadam, 或者是哲学。
The best is to always start with prasadam.
最好的方法就是从 prasadam 开始做起。
Which means you have to be a good cook.
那就意味着你的厨艺必须要精湛。
And once people take prasadam, it will be very easy for them to chant.
那么当人开始尝试了 prasadam 之后呢，他念诵也就变得很容易了。
And once they chant and dance, they will tell you, now, tell me about your philosophy.
当他们开始跳舞，开始唱诵的时候，他们就会说，那现在来告诉我你们的哲学的理念是什么。
And if they don't understand the philosophy, don't push, just give more prasadam.
如果他们要是不理解哲学的话呢，也不要去催促他们，只是给他们吃更多的 prasadam.
Okay.
So the next question is from Tian Yuan, 隐拜孤露的莲花族，人是灵魂，但那些由于意外从高处落下来结束了自己生命的人，他的灵魂去了哪里？他结束生命后，他的家人附体是什么原因？这样的人是自己的原因，还是别人给他设置的这种处境？ Please accept my very humble obeisances to your lotus feet. Human is a soul. However, for those people who are accidentally fall over from the height, and in that way to finish their life, where are their soul been end up to? After the life has been finished, after the life has been finished, kind of his soul haunt, his ghost has been haunted in her, in his family's body. What is the reason for that? And also for this type of people have this type of destination, is that because of himself to cause this ending or some other or other issues to make her or make him to be in this situation? Got that?
First of all, I didn't understand the first part of the question. The soul is falling
okay.
from somewhere?
Yeah. Well, let me paraphrase this. Well, because we always said that we're not this body, we're the soul. And when the person fall over from the building, he or she doesn't say that this person jumped out of the building, committed suicide. She said also by accident to fall over from the building. Then in this way, finish the life. So if this is a way, where does the soul go? And also after the life has been finished, then her soul has been haunted in her family's body. And why is that?
That's two different situations, right?
Yeah, but she just put all of the mixed all of the things together.
No, but the person falling off the building is different than the person who is haunting the family member, correct?
I think she's talking about the one person after the after.
Okay. First of all, we have to learn to ask questions that are related to the topic of the day. First of all.
OK, 首先呢是这样的啊，就是当我们在问问题的时候呢，我们最好还是要学着问一个和我们今天的讲课的内容相关的问题。
OK, but I will still answer the question.
但是呢我依然还会回答您今天的这个问题。
Falling off a building can be either an accident or a premeditated action.
Premeditated action.
Yeah, I mean it was planned.
Oh, okay. 那么就是这个从高处落下，这有两种可能，一种呢是事先就计划好的，他就想往下跳；还有另外一种呢是意外的掉下去了。
So in the scenario that you plan to jump off the building, it means that you want to be in control of your own life, means that you disregard the laws of nature, which means that next life you will not get a physical body. You become what is known as a ghost.
所以如果要是你自己想要从高处往下跳，那也就意味着你想要去控制你的这个生命的形成。那也就意味着你并没有去尊重主的自然的法律。那也就意味着当这样的方式结束自己的生命的时候呢，在下一世就不会再得到一个物质的躯体，而只会变成一个灵魂，但只会变成一个鬼魂。
So, you may become a disturbance to other people. in the position of a ghost.
嗯，那么当处在鬼魂状态的时候呢，可能就会打扰其他的人了。嗯嗯。
And the people that you disturb may also be family members. We don't know.
但是你去打扰的这个人呢，也许可能是你的家人，但是我们不知道。
This is all speculation, okay?
对，那这些呢，都是这个猜测。嗯嗯。
I mean, the scriptures explain that if you do commit suicide, you get the body of a ghost. This is an authorized statement. Where you go as a ghost, that's anyone's speculation.
Where is the ghost is everyone's speculation.
Yeah, it's just it's open to speculation. Nobody knows.
Okay. But it's authorized to say that if we committed suicide, we'll become a ghost.
Yeah.
Is that what you say?
Not eternally, yeah. For some time.
Yeah. 但是呢，就是这样，就是如果我们要是自行的了断我们的生命，也就是说自杀的话，那有这个权威的说法，就是我们在一段时间内是会以鬼魂的形式存在的。
Okay.Now, let's say you fall from the building and it's an accident.
但是如果我们要是 ，Sorry, Pablo, please finish.
That you fall off the building and it's an accident, that's karma.
Okay, 但是如果我们要是一不留神从这个楼上掉下去了的话呢，那这属于是我们的业报。
Literally speaking, millions of people die every day from karmic reactions.
那我们可以说呢，每天都有成百上千万的人由于他的业报的反应而丧失生命。
So in that case, your soul goes into another body based on your consciousness that cultivated throughout your life until the accident took place.
那在这样的这种情况下，你的这个灵魂呢，就会根据你在这一生中所从事的这个活动，以及你所在就是往下落的时候所具有的这种意识知觉，而进入到另外一个躯体之中。
So these are the two scenarios: the ghost and the karma.
对，要不然呢就会变成鬼魂儿，要不然呢就会根据业报来展现。
Okay. Anything else?
Let me see. The other question is from Hari Vansa Prabhu. 去佛教开的素食餐厅荣耀素食，摆什么样的心态适合 Vaishnava? What's the proper...mood for the Vaishnava to go to the veggie restaurant run by the Buddhist people?
Only Hari Vansa could ask a question like this. personally, I'll give you my experience.I go to these places when I have no other options and I'm invited by Buddhist people who want to treat me and show me their gratitude and respect. So they will treat me into a Buddhist vegetarian restaurant. I will accept not to offend them. Otherwise, if devotees enjoy going to a vegetarian restaurant because they can't be bothered cooking, then that's wrong.
那我来分享一下我自己的这个体验。那么我有的时候呢，是由于一些这个佛教人士，他们为了要请我，或者说为了要对我表示感谢，然后呢就请我到这个佛教的餐厅里面去吃饭。那么当这样的情况的时候呢，我就会接受，因为这样呢就不会去冒犯他们。那这样的这种情况呢是可以的，但是如果要是 由于我们不想做饭，不想去做 prasadam， 而就为了省事儿，然后特别的喜欢去佛教徒开的餐厅去吃饭的话，那这样是不对的。
And don't think it's prasadam.
而且不要把在素餐厅里面的这些食物看作是 prasadam.
It's not prasadam.
因为他们并不是 prasadam.
Prasadam is cooked by a devotee, offered by a devotee.
Prasadam 是由奉献者所烹制，并且由奉献者所供奉的食物，这被称为叫 prasadam。
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Mahamadi said that there is one more question, but she wants us to wait for a little while.
Hare Krishna. 有一位吴桥，吴桥吴莎马大吉，您的那个提问不清晰，请您重新做一个提问好吗？
谢谢 Donna Kelly 的翻译。
Thank you for all the devotees and for your wonderful question.
感谢所有的聆听的奉献者以及你们非常美妙的问题。
Service.
非常感谢阿叔给我做服务的机会。
Srimad Bhagavatam Kijai.
Jai.
Buddha Dev Kijai.
Jai.
What do you mean Jai? Buddha Dev. Buddha. Lord Buddha Kijai.
Lord Buddha Kijai. 主佛陀 Kijai.
Yeah. Ah, 佛陀 Kijai. And Kashadesha Kijai.
中国的奉献者们 Kijai.
And Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo.
Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. Srila Prabhupada Kijai.白昆台之音服务员聆听，我们今天的讲课呢就到此结束了。非常感谢罗德长跑步为我们的讲述，为我们的所有的这些问题的耐心的解答。非常感谢所有的奉献者的聆听，谢谢苏穆基马拉基今天为我们安排的这个平台。那祝所有的奉献者今天在 Krishna 知觉之中度过一个温暖的周日。Hare Krishna。